Secretary Joe. Thank you. You know, it's a slightly somber tune, but I hope that you'll be able to see the hope in it and the joy in it. I hope the message today is a lifeline. I think in our world today, there are so many things going on that some of you may feel like you're drifting away. Some of you may think you're sinking, and you can't keep your head above water. And the message is for you. For some who's walking with the Lord and enjoying life, and the message is for you too. And so God in his amazing ability can take a scripture and it'll apply to your life.
Be still. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul.
So I went to ask the Lord for a sermon. That's, if you want to preach, you got to ask God for it. You can't make them up on your own. A lot of things going on in life right now. Mine was very busy. So many things going on, it's really hard to just sit down and focus and study. But as soon as I knelt down by my bed, Psalm 46:10, right there. Psalm 46:10. Do you know the verse? Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in all the earth. Be still and know that I'm God. Can we stop for just a second? I know it's kind of a little backwards, but if we could stop for just a second with that thought in your mind, be still and know that I'm God. Because if we start our message with slowing down, focusing our hearts on God, then I think now our hearts are so much more open to God teaching us and working with that. So if you'll just bow your heads for just a moment and just take all your cares, cast them on Jesus. He does care for us. The things, the burdens that you brought in with you, just give them to the Lord. He can carry them. Father God, I know there are many things going on in people's hearts and lives, and Lord, that includes the joys and dreams, and but there's heartaches and there's pain, and Lord, life is full of different things. We know you're there. You are our stability. You are our rock and our fortress, a refuge. Thank you. Thank you, God, for being there. Thank you for choosing us, setting us apart, sanctifying us, making us yours, paying a price for us, promising us eternal life. Thank you, Father, for those things. Thank you for giving us your precious word. Oh, Lord, as we open it up today, would you cause my words to be your words? Would you just speak through me, please? Lord, would you cause each person to hear, when they hear the word of God, that your Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts too? Lord, just be with us today. Open up your word and teach us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're in Psalm 46. All right, if you want to go there. So if you read verse 10, and we're going to say those words over and over because I think it's helpful to just, this is part of meditating on his word, just repeating his word over and over and letting him talk to you as you go through it. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. So that means in the midst of trials and tribulations, be still and know. In the midst of persecutions, be still and know. In tragedy, heartbreak, confusion, among many false witnesses, be still and know. This chapter mentions a number of things. It mentions fear in verse 2. It mentions the earth being removed, mountains being carried in the midst of the sea. It talks about the waters roaring and the mountains shaking. Talk about the heathen raging and the Lord crushing his enemies. And then we get to verse 10 and it says, be still and know. Be still and know. Know what? What are we being still and knowing? We're knowing, as God says, I am God. That is a loaded phrase. Wow, how big is that? How can you unpack that? He gave us all of his scripture to unpack that for us. We can't begin to touch it. It matters not the circumstances of what we say or do. God is God. He is the Creator. He is the Master. He is the Lord. He's holy. He's righteous. He's full of grace and truth. He's God. He's God. In Sunday school, we started a topic this morning on biblical separation. Is this not the essence of separation and holiness? When Isaiah saw the Lord, what did he do? He immediately saw his sin. He fell before the Lord, but he was purged and cleansed, and then he immediately, fully surrendered to God's will. That's separation. When we see God for who He is, and we understand just how wicked and desperate our souls are, how much sin, how much we've harmed our Lord, how much we sent Him to the cross of Calvary for our sake, and then He says, ah, but here's my blood. Here's my blood. You're healed. You're washed. You're cleansed with my blood. Wow, the burden's lifted. What is our natural response? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm yours. What shall I do? What wilt thou have me to do? As the Apostle Paul said. Is that our heart today? If we're looking to the Lord, remembering what He did for us, are we saying, what wilt thou have me to do? Not, would you please agree with the things I want to do? No. We want to pursue after God. When Daniel beheld the Lord, he was just a dead man, couldn't speak or stand, and they had to touch him and strengthen him so that he could even stand because he saw his own unworthiness before an almighty God. That's knowing I am God. Being still and knowing that I am God. The sooner we grasp the reality that God will not share His glory with anyone, not with me, not with you, not with anyone. God will not share His glory. He's not even going to share it with angels. God will not share His glory with anyone. The sooner I can believe that and accept that, oh, the peace that comes. Because now God is God. Now God is God whether I believe it or not, okay? But when we now agree with that, oh, the peace that we can have when we understand that God is God and He is in control. He has given it all for us, and yet we squabble about the little things that we think He's asking us to give. He's not asking to give a squat. I mean, think about it. If you gave 100% of everything you had, what is that for eternity? What is that for eternity? People will pay huge cost for something they really, really want. Jesus already paid the price. He already spilled His blood for us. He paid the price. What is some choices in life that we would not choose to say, yes, Lord, You are God, and I am nothing in comparison. Without the blood of Christ, I am nothing and can do nothing. Oh, but with the blood of Christ, with the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, I can be power working through me. I can be used by God to do His work. The sooner we understand that He is God and He's not going to share His glory, the sooner we will be at peace. James mentioned in his message on Wednesday night, we prepare our hearts to serve the Lord. One aspect of that is to have the right target, as he mentioned. The sole target is the glory of God. How many times do we miss that? We miss the target because we're not even aiming at the target. We're aiming off somewhere. You take a child to archery range and you try to get them to shoot. And you go, no, over here, over here. If you're not aiming at the right target, you will never come close. And when you're aiming at, if the target's the glory of God, you can't even hit it by accident. You got to aim at the right target. The glory of God is the goal. All we think, all we say, all we do must be for the glory of God. Pride, no place. It must be abased. God hates pride. Our eyes and our focus, our hearts got to be so focused on the author and finish of our faith so that we can run the race with endurance. It's too easy to wear out when we get the wrong focus. Someone ran a race yesterday, and you don't finish a race by giving up. You don't finish a race by forgetting that there's a finish line. You run a race, and this one was at National Harbor, there's a lot of sights to see. You run around and, oh, look, there's the Ferris wheel. And you start getting distracted and you start looking at the Ferris wheel. You're not going to finish the race. You got to stay focused. You got to understand what, forget all this over here. Forget those people. Forget this, that, and the other. Forget the things you look at. Vanity Fair, you know. Stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and run the race with endurance. And that those weights just kind of fall off and you get lighter and you just keep chasing on. The more we can unpack in life, the easier it is to follow our Lord. But when we're trying to follow our Lord and we're still dragging this old life along behind us, it's like, no, that's dead. Remember? We are dead to Christ, dead in Christ, dead to sin, alive in Christ. Let it go. Let it go. Amen. Don't keep dragging it with you. Leave it alone. It's got no place. It's not going to help you. It's just a weight to slow you down or even stop you. So we must be meditating on His Word day and night. We talked about that in Sunday school as well. Day and night. Joshua 1:8. Why are we meditating on God's Word day and night? So that we can observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We meditate on His Word. We think about it. We go, be still and know. Be still and know that I'm God. Okay, Lord, I'll slow down. I'll listen. Maybe that means you're dropping to your knees somewhere, spending some time with Him. Be still and know. It might be in the midst of a busy day, or it might be in a hospital room. It might be all over the place. Wherever you're at in life, sometimes your heart has to be still and know that I am God. You know, you picture Moses leading these millions of people out of Egypt. And they haven't been out very long. And the armies of Egypt are following them. And God leads them not the short way. No, He leads them way down here. And now they get the Red Sea. It's like, Lord, what are we supposed to do? Be still and know. Just raise up your hand, raise up that staff, and watch what I'm going to do. Be still and know that I am God. He doesn't always give us opening up the Red Sea, okay? I understand that. He doesn't always just drop something, you know, this bag of money that's going to solve your problems. He doesn't always work in that manner. But what He does do, for sure, He will give you the peace that passes understanding. In the midst of a hard and terrible trial, in our perspective, then he will bring a peace that passes understanding. Now, He will also give wisdom. He promises to give wisdom, does He not? And He does answer prayers in His time. But I'll tell you, and this is such a hard thing to accept, but believe it or not, God is more interested in molding us and shaping us into the image of Christ than He is in accomplishing what we think is so important in life. That's a hard thing to swallow, and I'll be the first to admit. There's a lot of things, but Lord, I got to do this. I got to accomplish this. I got to get this. And He says, be still and know that I'm God. Oh, okay. In your time. It could be that I'm chasing the wrong thing. I mean, what do I know? I don't know tomorrow. I don't know the future. But God is God. He's already got that under control. Well, I'll just follow Him. You ever gone on a tour and you have a tour guide? What do? You just follow the tour guide. You're not so focused. I mean, some people are, but you know, generally speaking, you're not so focused on what's ahead. You're just following the tour guide, enjoying the tour because the tour guide's got it. The tour guide's been there before. They know what's coming up. God's far better than a tour guide. A tour guide can be surprised. He can go around a corner and say, oh, no, there's a big accident. The bus can't go through. God knows. God isn't hindered by such things. So our heart's desire has to be molded and shaped into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as he is pure. 1 John 3:3. What hope? Back up to verse 2. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That's our hope. We're going to be like Christ. We're going to be in His image. We're going to be in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, far more than the presence of those who walked this earth with Him. Now He's going to be in His full glory. He's not going to be clothed in this earthly flesh that He was clothed in when He walked on this earth. He's going to be the full glory. He's going to be the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's our Savior. That's our God. He's on the throne, And He is in control of all that's going on. The hope is that we will see Jesus someday, because you know He's coming again, right? You know Jesus is coming again. That's a fundamental biblical truth. He is coming again. He will come in the clouds and call His saints home. We're going to be judged for our works, by the way. That keeps us mindful of how we walk this earth and walk through this life. We're going to be judged. There's going to be a great marriage feast of the Lamb with His bride, His church. But there's going to be these 7 years of tribulation on the earth. But then the Lord's going to come back in all of His glory with the saints, and He's going to set up an earthly kingdom for 1,000 years while Satan is cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. God is in control. He knows what He's got planned, and He's going to make it happen. The intent is that we would be in sync with Him. We would walk in fellowship with Him, walk in the light as He is in the light, and have fellowship with Him. That's our goal while we walk this earth. So I'm absolutely aware that there are crises in life. I'm absolutely aware that there are hard things in life. We all have hard things. If we sit around and compare, which we often do, don't we? We often want to sit around and compare our woes, compare our pains, compare our trials. It's human nature. We do. Wouldn't it be different if every time we share that, here's a challenge, every time you share a woe, can you share a praise? Every time you tell somebody about your hardship, can you turn around and say what God did? What you're believing God for? Try it. It will change your conversations. Some people won't want to talk to you anymore. They're not interested in hearing about this Jesus. They're not interested in hearing how the God that you serve is all-powerful and answers prayer. But when you start coupling those things together, think about it. Every time, if you said, oh, wow, and I know we talk about health all the time. And why? Because we live in this flesh. It's with us all the time. It's hard to ignore, is it not? You know, if you get up and your leg doesn't work well or your back doesn't work well, it's really hard to not think about that. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know. That would change your life. It would absolutely change your life. In the midst of all those trials, we see this word of exhortation, or is it a command? Maybe it's both. Be still and know that I am God. What's the context of this chapter? What's the context? Let's look at verse 1. It starts off, says, God is our refuge and strength. 46:1, Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. Wait. This is Old Testament, isn't it? Old Testament. It's using present tense. It says God is. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Is. Present tense of the to be verb. Present at this place. God is here. God is here now. How do I know that? Because we have troubles. Do we not? Every one of us can sit here and start listing our troubles. God must be here. Isn't that great? Doesn't that change your concept of troubles? All of you don't look convinced. Get up in the morning, we face troubles. We're in trouble. Hear the news, we're in trouble. Look at our prayer list. We're in trouble. Troubles are around us. Health, yes. Probably almost every one of us can name something about our health that's troublesome, some more than others. And as I'm learning, and some of you know even more than I, there's something about growing in age that brings those health troubles along with it. That seems to be the way it is. So health is always going to be with us as troubles. Finances, some of you can say, amen. Financial trouble, yep. Financial troubles when the income is not enough to meet the outcome, the outgo. So financial troubles, they're all around us. Look at our nation. We're in financial trouble, folks. And apart from God, it's not going to get any better. We need God to do this. We need our entire nation to be still and know that I am God. Because until we do, nothing will change. Righteousness exalted the nation. Righteousness exalted the nation. Good ideas, good economic plans, none of that will change a nation. Righteousness exalted the nation. Relationships. Many of you, many of us, have challenges with relationships. That can be in our own home. That can be in our neighborhood. That can be in our work. Relationships. They're all around us. You are born into relationships. You're born with that mother and father. You're born into siblings. You're born into a lot of families. And then that's not enough. So then we go marry into some in-laws. Right? So we just can't get enough of these relationships. We get more and more of them every day. So we have relationships. And guess what? They don't always go real well. Some of them don't go well at all. We're in trouble. Be still and know that I'm God. In the midst of hard health, hard relationships, hard finances, car trouble, plumbing trouble, be still and know that I am God. So I've got great news. Yeah, I do. So we're talking about troubles, right? You're going, whoa, this is getting sad. But I have great, great news. And the great news is God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. Isn't that great? Do you see that? Can you see the benefit trouble has? Trouble is not a bad thing in and of itself. Now, we can think it's bad, and it'd be hard to argue about a lot of the things we describe. Ooh, that's bad. But think about it. In a Christian's life, when trouble comes, we experience the very presence of God. Surely, when we come to Christ, do we not want to grow closer to Him? If you truly have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, do you want to be closer to Christ? Amen. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, then you don't. There's nothing drawing you. There's nothing urging you to be closer to Christ. But when we've got the very Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us, we are the very temple of the Holy Spirit. What do you think the Holy Spirit's goal is? He points to Christ. That's one of the major focuses and jobs of the Holy Spirit is to point us to Christ. So if we're not being pointed to Christ, maybe we don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. If we're not saved, we don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So that's the first step. We have to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and that comes from salvation. So when we have the very presence of God with us, then troubles are just another thing. And I'm not going to pretend to take them lightly. I'm not. I don't want to make it like this is no big deal. Because it is a big deal. It influences our life because we still live here in the flesh and we got to deal with them. But if we can stop a moment and remember to be still and know that I am God, well, what about God do we need to reflect on? How about verse 1? God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. Ever-present. Always here. He never abandons us. He's always there. Now, we will turn our back on Him. We'll go on our own way. We'll go astray. But when we repent and we turn back to the Lord, you turn back around and you think you got to walk back to the Lord, it's like, oh, He's right there. He's right there already. I mean, remember, here's an interesting picture. We're being held in His hand, right? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. Not sin. Not Satan, not your friends, not even yourself. That's one of the big lies is that, oh, nothing out there can separate me from Christ, but I can turn away. Not from the Bible. The Bible says, no, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, not even myself. Once we are saved, we are saved. We are held in His hand. So we are promised eternity. But boy, we can sure kick against the pricks. We can sure turn our back on God and refuse to obey Him and walk with Him. We can refuse to be obedient children and be rebellious. Yep. And so here's this picture because God's hands. I mean, how big are God's hands? What's one of those kids' songs that we sing? He's got the whole world in his hands. And we're just thinking about the earth. What about the universe? I don't know how big God's hands are because I think it's limitless. So you're picturing, though, that you're in his hands. And so it's easier for us to picture physical things that we can see. So we got it in our hands. And so we're over here rebelling, going our own way. And then all of a sudden we repent and turn. Ah, we're still there. We're still in his hand, just like we always were. Now we may have turned our back on him, but we're there in his hand. You can't run from God. Ask Jonah. You can't run from God. You can't get on a ship and run from God. You can't be in the bottom of the sea, in the belly of a whale. You can't get away from God. Nowhere. You can run as hard as you can. You can't get away from God. That's a good news. Amen. That is a great news because, let's face it, we're not always obedient children. And we're doing our own way, pursuing our own paths, and rejecting God. And praise God, once we're actually saved and his child, we can't get away if we want to. Now, then we have this whole relationship issue to deal with, okay? I'm not saying that's okay, but we have a relationship issue, but we cannot run away from God. Count it all joy, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Wanting, lacking, wanting nothing. Well, how do you get there? Deal with trials and tribulations. Troubles. Troubles are part of molding and shaping. That's just the way it is. Anybody who's been through the military, gone through boot camp, basic training, they create troubles. Purpose, on purpose. They purposely make life hard for you. Why? Because out there it's hard. Out there in the battle, it's hard. Blood flows more in the battle if you don't sweat more in training. It's hard out there. And God knows that. Well, guess what? He wants us to be those soldiers on the front line. The front line. Banging down the doors of hell so that we can say, no, Satan, you can't win. We're going to win. Christ is already the victor. Now we're going to get the gospel out and more people can come to the kingdom. We're going to serve Christ. We're going to work together as a body. He wants us out here on the front lines. But you don't get frontline soldiers without them going through some troubles and some difficulties and some problems. So God uses troubles to mold us and shape us into his image. Look what Christ did. I mean, here is God in the flesh, and how did he learn obedience? Through the things which he suffered? That is a fascinating thought to me, that even Jesus Christ, because he wore this flesh, he had to go through all this suffering to be our Savior. And he did that willingly. Remember, he could have called a legion of angels. He didn't have to submit to those folks. How many times did he walk away from them? They were going to cast him over the cliff. And he walked away from them. How did he get away? I don't know. But he did. He could have done that in the garden. He didn't have to submit himself. Hey, Peter drew his sword. He was going to fight. And you know, if Peter started the fight, John and James would have been right there with him. I mean, they were zealots. They wanted this kingdom to come. They would have fought for him. No, put away your sword. And he willingly went and suffered. Can we not go through a few hard things in life? But you got to have the sight. You got to know where it's going. He's molding us and shaping us for his image, preparing us for the work that's ahead. Troubles are there to prepare us for a work ahead. But if we are not willing to stop and remember that he is God, that he is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, then we're going to be discouraged, we're going to turn away, we're going to stop the fight, we're going to give up. But when we know, when our eyes are focused on the Lord Christ, on our author and finisher of our faith, then we have a reason to pursue. When we understand that he loves us so much and he's got a perfect plan, then we're willing to press on and keep fighting. Don't give up, ever. God will take us home when it's time. He has no problem with doing that. No problem whatsoever. He knows when it's time, and he'll take us home. But boy, until that last breath, you fight. You don't give up. Keep going for Christ. I do not stand here and say I've arrived. I would never say that because I haven't. Apostle Paul told us that he had not arrived. But there's things that we know are true, okay? We have to believe that the Bible is true. And then when we commit our lives to it, that it's all we need for life and godliness, and we pour ourselves into it and say, Lord, if it's a lie, then I'm doomed. You know, if there is no resurrection, we are of all men most miserable. But there is a resurrection. There is a coming Christ, and we believe that. So perhaps some of you do share my challenges. I don't immediately welcome and embrace trials and tribulations. I am human. Every time something hard comes along, I don't say, whoa, praise God, I'm so glad he's breaking my leg or whatever. You know, that's a hard thing to say. I'm very human. Trouble comes. Stresses build up. Do list piles up. Boy, those do lists. Whew. Problems arise that I can't solve. And sometimes it takes a little while to slow down. But when I do, and I be still and know that I am God, I can see life so much clearer. It's so much easier to deal with. Nothing changed. The do list didn't go away. The stressors didn't go. The health issue didn't get resolved. But here in the presence of Almighty God, remembering that He is God and He's our very present help in time of trouble, everything changed. Oh, it's not God changing. It's not my circumstances changing. It's me changing. Oh, am I being molded now? Oh, Lord, you know, this potter and clay business, I don't always like being this clay. But boy, if you can remember that there's something going to be beautiful coming off of that wheel, and that's going to be used as a vessel for honor, it's really hard to complain. What do you say? No, just toss me on the trash heap, Lord. I don't want this wheel anymore. No. We don't want to be tossed away. We want to be that vessel of honor. So the circumstances may not change one bit. My troubles may not go away instantly. God never promised that would happen. But the peace that passes understanding, what a blessing it is. It allows me to rise up and press on. Sometimes the Lord then gives wisdom to work through the life issues. Sometimes He provides the strength I need in the midst of a storm. Oh, those storms. Storms will come. They're going to be there. Storms will come. But you know the amazing thing about storms? They pass on. Some of them last a while. When you're caught in the middle of a big hurricane and it goes on for hour after hour after hour and everything around you literally is just being destroyed and everything, assuming you live through it, you know, the storms can go on for a long time and they can be very hard. Some storms just kind of come and then they move on. And you go, oh, what was that? Living on Guam was like that. Storms would come racing across the ocean. It's just an island in the middle of the ocean. And so the storms go, boom. And then you just get this torrential downpour and then, oh, okay. And then you move on with life. It's a storm that passes. A lot of life is like that. It's just a minor thing. Minor. It's awful hard when it hits you, but it's relatively minor. But some things go for a while and some things last. I can trust the Lord to deliver me. Remember those three Hebrew men? You know, we often call them Hebrew children. They were not children when they went into the fiery furnace. They were grown men. They had already been through the trials and tribulations. They had already knew what it meant to stand for God. And they did just that. They learned that they could trust. Remember what they said? It says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Have absolute confidence that God can deliver you from any trial and tribulation. He is your ever-present help in trouble. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Daniel 3. Are we so committed to God that we'll say, look, I am confident, I am absolutely confident my God can deliver me from any of these, any trouble. He can deliver me. But if He won't, I'm still not going to bow. I'm still not going to submit to Satan. I'm not going to submit to anxiety. I'm not going to submit to fear. I'm not going to give in. No. If God chooses not to deliver me, I will not submit to the things of this world. I'm going to press on for God anyway. Amen. Was Jesus not their ever-present help? Who was that fourth person in the fire? Jesus himself. He let them go in the fire, though. Sometimes we've got to go in the fire. But he's there. They were willing to endure whatever men could toss at them, knowing that God is the only God, and there's nothing and no one else to be worshipped. That is the takeaway. We have to know that God is God. Jesus, the Son. Where are you at today? Who is this God? Is God just a nice idea? Or is he your life? Wait. Does he have your life? Both. We are united with Christ. We are one with him. We are joint heirs with Christ. When we are saved, we come into this oneness. And so now, he's got to be our life. It makes life decisions so much easier if we are sold out to God. Absolutely sold out to God. All these decisions of life that we struggle with, they fall by the wayside. Because, Lord, what do you want? What wilt thou have me to do? Whatever you want. Do you ever stop and be still long enough? I know that many people like to listen to music. They like to listen to TV, whatever. Some people just live with constant noise. Constant noise. Could I challenge you to be still and know that he is God? Sometimes that means just stepping away from whatever it is that keeps you distracted in life. Be still and know that I am God. I am God. And who is this God? He's our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. If you don't know Jesus, if he is not your Savior, if you've never acknowledged that you are a sinful, wicked creature that has broken God's law and are destined for death and hell, then you can't know this peace. You can't know this guidance of our Lord. You're never going to be able to be still and know that I am God. Because the first step is repentance. Lord, I am a wicked sinner. Save me. That's got to start there. You got to start looking to the cross, looking at the work that Jesus did on the cross. And when you understand that now, and you repent of your sin, Lord, please forgive me. I've rejected you. I've turned away from you. I've been rebellious against you. And we repent and come to Christ. Lord, save me. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. It is a promise from God. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only salvation there is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we have to get to that point first. And what we often miss is that when we get saved, we 100% belong to him. It is a false teaching to think that you can get saved and do whatever you want. That's a lie. I think that you really don't even understand salvation. Salvation is being totally God's. I know that we can still sin, and I know he's made a provision for us to repent and confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. I know that. I know that sometimes we can be rebellious children. You know, we're not instantly perfect. We're not are sinless. But we belong to him, and our heart and mind must be focused on pursuing after him with everything. We as a church can never accomplish what God has planned for us to accomplish if we're busy doing our own thing. It's not going to happen. You as individuals and as families will never accomplish what God wants you to do if you're not sold out to him. As long as we're distracted and still have our own agenda in life, doing what we want to do when we want to do it, we will never accomplish and see God's work in our life the way he desires to do that. I'm confident that's a true statement, and the Bible backs it up over and over and over again. You just look at those early believers. Hey, throw us in jail. Doesn't matter. I'm preaching Christ. I mean, it didn't matter. Oh, it's coming after persecute us. We're still going to preach Christ. We're still going to meet as a church. We're going to do the work of the Lord. Doesn't matter. They knew who God was. And they knew who the Lord Jesus Christ was and what he had done for them. And that changed their lives. Be still and know that I am God. And this God is our ever-present help in trouble. That's good news.